Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. I'm your host, Deborah Vidala, broadcasting live from Palm Beach County, Florida. It's Sunday, October 18th, 2015. Tonight's guest is a man who is kind, compassionate, and brave. For many reasons, he is a leader, a mentor, a veteran, an author, and a police officer. Frank Danish has served our country in the U.S. Coast Guard. He continues in the community and branching out worldwide for our youth and children in need. During my interview with Frank, I became enlightened by his story, his energy and spirit. I am grateful for the time before the show to reflect. This man is a hero. I respect him and honor to have such an amazing guest. Let me bring Frank Danish on the line.
Hello.
Welcome to Plan for Fitness, Frank.
I'm so excited to be on the show tonight.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Sergeant Frank Danish is calling in from South Florida, and we're very excited. We have a lot to cover tonight, Frank. You are an inspiration, very positive and active. You're in great shape. You're in your mid-40s. I'm 42, and I just loved when you came to see me. You looked good. You were healthy. You had a positive attitude, nice physique, and an inspiration to a lot of people that might be giving up on themselves. I see you as an achiever. You are sensitive, which is a gift, and a communicator. I asked you about what you loved most in the military, and you replied, "I embraced discipline." Let's get started. U.S. Coast Guard. You started at a young age. Let's talk about your experience serving our country.
Well, joining the Coast Guard was quite the option. I come from a line of veterans. One of my brothers was in the United States Air Force. Another brother was in the United States Marine Corps. And I had already had a long history with the Army ROTC program in my high school. So I wanted to do something a little bit different. I didn't want to follow the everybody else. And when I spoke to the Coast Guard recruiter, I already had an idea about doing law enforcement in the future. And the recruiter said something about, the Coast Guard is the law of the sea. And I was like, oh, that just really resonated with me. And because I've always had a big heart for helping others. And once he said that, I knew that that was the right choice for me. And we filled out the paperwork, and off I went to Cape May, New Jersey.
I think it's very honorable that you went in such a young age. It was 19, you left at 23, and, you just continue. You continue on. This, I feel, shaped you for many things. And you said, I had a great time. But you did dangerous stuff, and you did recovery and search, and thank God for all your limbs back. No bullets, any injuries while you were serving.
No, I remained pretty injury free. The crews that the great thing about the military, especially the Coast Guard, is it's a very small unit. There's only 40,000 people in the Coast Guard. Well, at the time I joined. And there's actually more New York City police officers than there are people in the Coast Guard, but they service the entire world. You know, we handle all the AIDS navigation. Drug interdiction obviously is a big thing here in the South, and where I primarily work was the Florida Keys and the Caribbean Basin. And I had the opportunity to work with the United States Navy. We would go out on Navy warships and do drug interdiction, stopping boatloads of marijuana coming into, and actually cocaine. And we also rescued a lot of people at sea. One of our adventures, I guess you could say, was we encountered a boatload of 17 Cuban refugees. And had we not come upon them, I'm not sure if they would have survived and made it, because they were right at the end of all their food, right at the end of all their water. And I think it's a testament to these brave people that are trying to, I mean, they're actually risking their lives to get to our country because it was such an incredible opportunity. And I think Americans take that for granted. You know, they don't take the opportunity of all the things that we have to offer in our country. And I would love to see our young men and women get more involved and serve their country, because it is the land of opportunity. And so many people have died prior, and so many of our troops coming back are wounded and dealing with other issues from these you know, clashes and fights and battles across the sea to protect America, because freedom is not free. And a lot of times, and I believe everybody has a right to their opinion, but I also think that before you open your mouth to say your opinion about, or say something derogatory about our country, I think you need to pick up a weapon or pick up a tool or something and defend our country, or pick up a pen and write how you're going to help our country before you start trashing it. You know, there's an old saying about, you know, be careful where you know, things that you do, and as far as where you eat. And I think a lot of us have, or at least not myself, but a lot of people in our country have forgotten what it took to become a country, a free country. And I think we need to get some people up there in different positions to make those decisions, maybe a little bit better, and think about our soldiers and think about our servicemen and also our first responders here in the United States. And when I say first responders, I just don't mean our police and firemen, but also all the nurses, all the teachers, everybody in our public service that mold our children into the adults that we want to, you know, be proud of today.
Yes, and also the EMT, fire rescue,
Absolutely, absolutely.
everybody that's serving our country, and definitely let's give a shout out to the Navy, the United States Navy, all the armed forces, all the men and women that are serving that may be overseas right now. This podcast will be available on demand. We pray that we can have a lot of our soldiers come home, and it's been a difficult time. I'm glad that you came back and you continued on. Let's move forward, because we have a lot to cover. You're an interesting guest. You became a police officer, and you have quite a
Correct.
few years in. Frank Danish is calling in from Palm Beach County, Florida, ladies and gentlemen. He's a leader through love. This is my perception of you, Sergeant Frank Danish, because you continue to serve. Not only have you been a police officer for 24 years, you're involved in leadership programs. Hundreds of youth become civic-minded, functional adults. And this is what you're involved in. You're doing the bike unit, the drug and alcohol prevention, violence prevention, the marine unit, narcotics, canine. I'm just so proud to have you on the show. And, let's talk about what it was like, one, in boot camp, and the training you endured, and then when you went to the police academy.
Well, the Coast Guard boot camp, the only thing that was, I think that was, it was very exciting. And when you go there, you know, it was a couple of years after being in high school. And like most of us, we lose touch with our physical fitness a little bit. And boot camp will bring that, you know, right back into your face. So the only thing that was my biggest problem was obviously the run. And that was something I really worked on. And And even when I got out of the Coast Guard, applying for the police department, at that time we had a 7 mile, I'm sorry, a 7 minute mile. And if you're not a runner, seven, it doesn't seem like a lot, because I know a lot of guys out there are really good runners and a lot of girls out there. But for me, that was a big struggle, and I really put my nose to the grindstone and really got my diet on track, and I trained real heavily because I was living in Miami at the time. And I really, you know, that was that one obstacle that, you know, we all face. And physically, you know, it's sad to see sometimes that not all our officers and first responders are in the best shape that they can be. And I find that sad because of the fact that a lot of times, especially with the firefighters and especially with the police department, a lot of agencies these days allow their officers to actually work out on duty so they can be prepared if they should have to fight for their lives or fight for the lives of some other person. And I would love to see more of our members get more involved and actually take advantage of that fact, because I think it's a great feature, and it's very awesome that the agencies allow such a thing. And I just would like to see more people get involved, because when you're on the street and you're on the ground fighting with somebody, and you know, that time goes fast, you know, and if you're not prepared, it can go a lot faster, you know. And on the police honor guard, I've traveled around the state of Florida to different funerals, and you know, it definitely gets you thinking about, are you ready? Are you prepared to go into battle today and come out a winner? You know, officer survival is a very strong thing in my mind, because, you know, when you're dealing with these situations, you don't really know. And the only thing that you can prepare for, the only thing that you do know, is if you've done everything you can to be ready for that time, because you know, our number's going to come up someday, no matter where we are. And if it's at work, you better be, you know, better be prepared. So the Coast Guard taught me to fight through those obstacles. Police Academy, you know, there was a lot of good training there, a lot of incredible instructors. And the instructors there were also prior military. This one guy was an ex-Marine, and he was one of the strongest human beings I think I've ever met. He was a lot older than us young kids, and he was just unbelievably strong and in shape. And I always remember that, like, you know, it doesn't matter. Age doesn't matter. You know, it's what's in your heart. And if you have a good heart and you're going to fight for good against evil, then you're going to win. And that's the way it is. One of the things when I was a young officer that really shaped my desire to help young people, a friend of mine and I were working in a fairly heavy crime area. And it was just about getting dark. And we heard a car crash. I mean, it was extremely loud. So we knew we were close by. And when we arrived at the scene, it was a young man and a young lady inside the car. And, sorry, hang on a second. This was only 22 years ago, and it still affects me really bad. But
and that's why
I
you're sharing
lady,
it. Go ahead.
It's,
go ahead, sweetheart.
You know, I looked down in her abdomen, and I asked the young man, I said, well, you know, how many months pregnant is she? And he said, she's not pregnant. And then I realized it was the internal bleeding. She was only 16. So the ambulance comes, takes her off to the hospital. And, of course, another great thing about law enforcement, there's all this awesome paperwork that you don't realize when you're watching it on television, how many hours that stuff takes. So we were stuck there for a while, you know, handling that and getting all the information done. I decided to take the paperwork. My friend, he had other things he was doing, so I took this report. And part of that was I wanted to go to the hospital and check on the young lady, make sure, you know, see how everything was. And my best friend at the time, he went to the police academy with me. He did the traffic homicide investigation on this case. And I remember walking into the ER, and I said, hey, man, you know, I'm here for this accident. You know, I want to finish up my report. Actually, you know, he was going to do the bulk of it, and I just wanted to kind of know what happened. And I said, well, no, how is she? And he kind of had this look on his face, and he's like, well, she didn't make it. And that was like a sword, just driving through your heart because you had just talked to this young kid a couple hours prior to that. And here she is. She's, it was her time. Her time was up.
You know, Frank, you sharing that with all the listeners tonight, we're live right now. There's going to be so many more people listening. The message that you're sharing is you're brave. And, it's you see a lot of things and you put your life on the line. You did it in the service and you continue to do it out in our community every day that you're in that car or out on the street. Your approach attitude is so positive despite that you've seen loss, but you're a big part of the solution. And a very, very special message. And I love that you're sensitive because that's what makes it happen. And people will probably listen to this and identify. They may have a family member or a friend that this may have occurred to and say, that police officer really cared. And that's what I like about you. Very, very passionate. Oh, I'm very serious that you're a special person, and I'm glad that you're talking about it. Okay, let's keep going because we're on the clock for another
Okay.
15 minutes. Let's go with
So
all the programs too that you're involved in. We're going to move to that when you're finished with that.
Basically, that gave me the catalyst to, because I wasn't able to help that young lady, that when I now had a chance to get in the school system, that I was going to use that story to help prevent that from happening. Because the bottom line was, she was a straight A student, came from a really great family, and the young man she was with, not so much, came from not a great family, but he had made a lot of bad decisions prior to that. And was a character that she should never have been riding in a car with. Obviously, he didn't even have a driver's license that was valid. He had a long history of run-ins with the law. So right then and there, I decided that when I got the opportunity, I was going to do my best to prevent as much of that from happening, so I could inform other youth that when they're in a vehicle. And when I started teaching violence prevention, it also included, drug and alcohol prevention and different topics like that in school. That when the kids in the school were very receptive to the information because I tried to present it in such a way that it really got their attention. And I had some other situations that were, similar in nature where we had seen that type of problem in our neighborhoods. And from there, I kept moving forward, and a lot of times, even years later, a lot of these youth as adults would approach me and remembered me from those courses, and some of the decisions that they made were in the positive, and some of them not so positive, but at least they had that opportunity to make a decision. And a lot of the times, I would talk about goal setting. For the last 17 years, I've run a leadership program in my police department. And a lot of these kids, actually from that program, became law enforcement officers for the same agency, which I always thought that was pretty cool because there was a time we couldn't find police officers. And I remember telling the guy that used to work here, who retired years ago, I said, "Well, if we can't find them, I'll raise them." And I said it as a kind of a joke. And then when the first one got hired, I was like, "Oh wow, that's pretty cool that that actually happened." So when you can see all that your hard work turns into something very positive, it's a great feeling. And I know there's lots of men and women out there that are doing the exact same thing as I am. I'm nothing special. I think that there's so many great officers out there, and unfortunately, sometimes in the press, they're not going to get the fair shake because obviously bad news travels faster than good news, and it's unfortunate that we don't see more of these stories about the officers that are doing phenomenal programs. We started a program in our city where we actually help kids from disadvantaged homes get Christmas. Christmas becomes a little bit more special for them because a very, very motivated young officer came to me with an idea, and he says, We could actually, I think he came from his aunt. She lives in another state. And he said, hey, there's this really cool thing they do there. They get this store to donate, you know, money and gifts for these kids from these situations. So we marched over to the store, and I walked in there with this officer, and the lady was like, oh, are you here from this agency? And I was like, no, we're here from our city. And she told me they were actually going to do the same program or something similar to it. And I was like, no, I don't think so. This is our city. These are our kids. These are our residents, and we want to take care of them the best, you know, and who would know better than some of these officers actually found some of these kids that we could help. And that started several years ago and has really grown into a phenomenal program. So, you know, it's sad to see sometimes that we're not getting the press, and I know that there's great first responders out there as well as far as, the fire department. But unfortunately, the police department, when we get called to a scene of a house or a business or an intersection, whatever it is, it's usually not because something good is happening there. It's usually something that's way out of that person's control or something tragic has happened. And these officers, you know, they carry that with them for, years. But the good thing about that is a lot of agencies have recognized that, and they've started a lot of counseling programs where they can actually, if somebody's having an issue dealing with something, to help that person through. Back when that happened to me with that young lady, there was no such thing. Nobody was like, oh, man, how did you deal with that, or how do you feel about that? That just wasn't in existence back then. You're a tough dude. You just keep handling it. You keep moving forward, you just stuff it down and do your job. So it's good to see that these days that we have a lot more programming, and a lot of these agencies are making sure that their men and women are getting the assistance that they need to deal with some of these tragedies. There's been a lot of really, really bad tragedies, especially out west not too long ago, at a college. And every day there's been something going on in our country. So, we're a little bit different. When the gunshots are going off, we run towards them. Most other people are running the opposite way. So when you have the opportunity, make sure you thank your first responders for being there, because it's a big deal. And not everybody really wants
Good
to
message.
Do that job.
Good message, Frank. Let's talk about two Shop with the Cop. That was a great program. Officer with the kids and the family going shopping. Is it one-on-one? Do you go in with the children in the store one-on-one?
Yeah, that's a pretty exciting part. And you can really, the most hardened veteran officer, men and women, they come in there and they take that little kid and they get a certain dollar amount depending on the store, And the thing that really touches your heart is that the kids, I would say probably 99.9% of the time, are the first thing they say is, I want to get something for my sister, my brother, my mother, my dad. They always think about the other people in their family before themselves. And that's the first part that's really exciting. And then, I see the officers in the store, and and then they get to the cash register because it's a certain amount. And I haven't seen any officers in the history of this program put something back. They reach in their pocket, they grab their wallets, take care of business. So it's just, an amazing situation. It melts your heart, and it's a positive situation for our community. And for people that think that, whatever about the police departments, they've never been in the shoes where you go from tragic events to helping these children in our neighborhoods. So it's too bad that that doesn't make the media all the time either. Some
Absolutely.
Of it does.
Well,
though.
Tonight is about that. The sacrifices you made and the other officers and all of our armed forces, there's a lot of sacrifice made in service. You going out in the community, sharing the word and this message, now you're continuing about feeding the children. You had a very big goal. We're down to 5 minutes. When
okay.
you came to see
well,
me, you talked about feeding the children. You said, Debbie, I want to feed a million children. I'm like, wow, that's a big goal. And you're smiling. You're like, well, I'd like to feed a billion, but we'll start at a million. So let's go through that real quick. Oh, yes, yes. But it's a beautiful thing that you want to do.
I appreciate that. But before I even say, before I even talk about that program, we might not even make it to that this segment, but I really want to talk about another program for our veterans. It's called Pause for Liberty, PAWS, and the number 4, Liberty. And this idea, this charity is absolutely phenomenal. And what they do is they take animals that are going to be euthanized, and if they pass, there's like a training, you know, like they have to qualify, the dog does, and if it makes it through this, but if the dog is qualified, then they have a trainer come in, and these dogs go to our veterans in need for whatever the situation is. And I when I heard the idea, it just blew me away, because I wanted to do something similar to this. But here's already a nonprofit in South Florida that's doing it. So if you Google Pause for Liberty, please donate. It's a phenomenal program. The lady that runs it is absolutely phenomenal. Self-sacrificing. She's putting together a team of people to help, you know, take care of our veterans coming back from these different situations, different wars around the world, and giving them that opportunity that they normally wouldn't have because of whatever funding and whatnot. But she's taking a big chunk out of, you know, helping other people and really appreciating our servicemen and women so that they get all the help that they need. And the other program that I've just started kind of getting involved with is called Little Smiles. You can Google that as well, Little Smiles. And what they do is they provide help for kids that are terminally ill, because, you know, that program got started, actually, which is really amazing. A little girl who was terminally ill with cancer, and she had this amazing capability. What she was doing is, while she was in the hospital, she would go out and herself motivate these other kids and talk to them and share with them and make them laugh. I mean, she was a little girl with a gigantic heart, and that stemmed into another organization. Just phenomenal. Really awesome.
That is
awesome.
Such great.
And I have
Pause for Liberty up on my Facebook page. We're down to 2 minutes.
Awesome.
Everybody stand by. We're going to be closing the show in about 60 seconds. Pause for Liberty, Little Smiles for Terminally Ill Children. The links will be up on Facebook and Twitter. I have Sergeant Frank Danish on the line calling in from South Florida. He's leadership through love, ladies and gentlemen. He's a veteran. He's a police officer. You're such a caring individual. I'm very much touched by your energy and your driven and you're emotional, and I love it. I love it because you care about what you're doing. And so
thank
when
you.
We stream the show, yeah, we have 90 seconds
you,
on the clock.
Okay.
Ladies
you
and
can
gentlemen,
also, if
you
need,
can...
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, you can stream the podcast on demand shortly after we're off the air. Frank, I want to thank you for being my guest tonight. Go ahead. Let's close out with what your message is.
I just want to say thank you to all our servicemen, obviously wherever you are in the world. Our country appreciates your efforts, and be careful. God bless you. And if anybody needs any more information about any of these programs or any assistance with anything as far as youth leadership, feel free to Google me, or I'm sorry, not Google me, but email me, and that address will be up as well on the webpage. It's going to be, did I say it over the air, or should I just wait, or should I just look at it there? I don't really
sure
how that works.
We're going to list it, sweetheart, on Facebook.
Okay, cool. Awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to Plan for Fitness Talk Show. We thank you, Sergeant Frank Danish, for your service in the Armed Forces. I thank you for continuing to protect and serve in Palm Beach County in South Florida. We're down to 10 seconds. I expect to have you on the show again. Everybody,
all right, this
good
is just
night,
part
and
one.
Thanks
we'll
for tuning in. Thank you,
Awesome.
Frank.
Thank you.
God bless.
Everybody have a great
Good
evening.
night.
God bless you. God bless America.
God bless
Bye-bye.
America. Good night, everyone.
Good night.